going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit MensTClinic.com. That's MensTClinic.com.
Good morning, DFW. Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. The Firehouse Tour, Bobby, is back this week.
It is, and it's a little different. For the first time in the history of the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour, which we've done, we've done like 14, 15 of these, something? Maybe more than that now at this point. But for the first time in the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour history, we're going to do this on a Wednesday so that we can fit it in here into the month of April. So this is
2 days from now.
Uh-huh. This is stop number two on the 2025 tour. So we're going to Anna. So if you are in Anna, Blue Ridge, Prosper, Melissa, McKinney, Princeton, Salina, etc., this is probably going to be the Firehouse Tour for you. And we're going to have breakfast from Whataburger as well as special edition Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour baseball caps. And those will go fast just
That's
like the aprons
cool.
did. So make sure you swing by and get yours. That's 305 South Powell Parkway in Anna. 305 South Powell Parkway in Anna. It's the only fire station in Anna. So just look up the Anna Fire Station and that's where we're going to be. So thank you to Whataburger, Firehouse Heating and Air, and Firehouse Movers for being our partners on this year's Firehouse Tour.
Yeah.
And because we're close to Princeton, which is the home of Nick Harris, I did text with Nick Harris last night. Nick Harris is going to drop by in person and hang out with us for a little bit.
I have spent many the day in Melissa, Texas, and Princeton for baseball.
I once...
Many the day.
The very first time I ended up in Melissa was because my mom got lost trying to drive to Garland, which if you know how far apart Garland and Melissa are, you know she took several wrong turns.
That's a lot of wrong turns.
And just didn't...
And then not even paying attention. Yeah. Like you just keep driving.
Yeah, just kept driving and going like, we're kind of... why are they selling fireworks by the side of the road? That is not Garland.
All right, so that's Wednesday Firehouse Tour in Anna. We are also the home, and we're the home of the NFL draft, where this took place on Friday.
With the 44th pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Donovan Ezeraku, defensive end, Boston College.
There we go, Travis.
Yeah.
Good job executing that.
I love the commissioners that can't be bothered with any pick besides the first round.
Yeah, but he'll come up there. He'll do a couple in the second, but they've just turned it into like a, let's have legends do it, yeah. Or like let's give it as something where somebody's got to make a wish, so we're going to have them make the pick or whatever. But the Cowboys get a couple of really good players on Friday. With second round pick, it was edge rusher Donovan Ezeraku, who you just heard about there from Boston College.
So not a wide receiver.
No, not a wide receiver.
All right. So surely they would have got one in the third round.
So in the third round, they got the guy who covers the wide receivers after his ACL heals. That would be cornerback Savone Revel. We have all been saying Siobhan Revel this entire time through the draft process. Literally everyone who covers the draft. And we were informed on Friday night, it's actually Savone. So it is not Siobhan. It is Savone.
How does he spell it?
S-H-A-V-O-N. Which looks like Siobhan.
Siobhan.
Yeah.
But it's Savone.
It's Savone. So okay. Savone Revel from East Carolina. Brian's 11th ranked player in the draft. They get in the third round. Who falls a little bit because of the knee issue that took all but three games from him last year. And so teams didn't really get to see him. All right. How does he rise up? How does he play? But then on day three, they didn't have a fourth.
No, they did not.
So
why?
Because they traded it for Jonathan Mingo. So there you go. There's your receiver two.
There's your number two.
Then the Cowboys take Texas running back Jaden Blue, Florida linebacker Shamar James, Oregon offensive tackle, who apparently is going to play guard here, Ajani Cornelius, UCLA defensive tackle Jay Toya in the seventh round, Clemson running back Phil Moffa in the seventh round, and then Maryland defensive tackle Tommy Akingbasoti, I think is how you say it. But, boy, this is a return to their general principles outside of the East Carolina pick of we're only taking the big school players. Alabama, Boston College, Texas, Florida, Oregon, UCLA, Clemson, Maryland.
That's an old Parcells. That's Will.
That's been Will McClay in the past because he believes those players are going to have a
higher floor.
Well, and they're better prepared for what they're going to run into here.
Yeah. It's a higher floor. That's what it is, right? You know, like the draft is probably as much, and I love to get into like the detail of this with Will or Broadus even. Like, is the draft as much about not missing as it is about hitting? Like, you don't have to hit in terms of like this guy's got a fourth rounder.
Probably just depends on where your team's at.
Yeah.
Like a few years ago, they needed CD and Diggs to like hit quick if they wanted to extend their window. Where they're at right now, do they just need somebody to push them over the edge a little bit, or do they need another one of those drafts? I guess it just depends on the philosophy of where they think they're at.
So the idea of taking, they essentially went best player available the entire time.
Yeah, and I'll say this, of their nine picks that they made, so a lot of people view Dane Brugler as the standard, that they want to know where Dane had a guy. So of the nine picks that they made, four of them went where Dane had them graded. So, like, they take Jaden Blue in the fifth round. Dane had Jaden Blue in the fifth round. One of them was overdrafted. It was their very last pick. Dane had Akingbasoti as a free agent, and they took him with one of the last picks of the seventh round, which isn't that big deal. But four of them were picked later than where Dane had graded them. So you're talking about really big value. So Ezeraku is taken in the second round. He was graded in the first. Revel was taken in the third round. He was graded in the second. You had Jay Toya, who they picked in the seventh round, the defensive tackle. Dane had him in the third round, and they take him in the seventh. And then Phil Moffa, he had him graded in the sixth round. They take him in the seventh. So they clearly were going best player available. And we'll play some of this audio from the scouting staff next hour at 7:20, where they talk about that philosophy a little bit. But this was 100% about prioritizing who's the best player left on the board. That's who we're taking. Because those first three players they got, I'm pretty confident for them, were top 40 players. So they feel like they got three of their top 40 players. But the issue is, we headed into the draft saying, what realistically? Running back and wide receiver two were probably their biggest holes right now.
They were big holes, for sure.
In terms of starters that were ready to play. And they came out of those first 2 days with neither.
Neither.
And that's, you think I'm an idiot? That's tough for some people to swallow. So was this too much of a commitment to the best player available philosophy?
I mean, probably, because, you know, like, I do think it needs to be the best player you have at a position you're looking for.
It's a blend, I think.
It's a blend because, you know, you can go best player available all day and then you're going to wind up, I mean, you could wind up taking like four players for the same position, you know, and that doesn't work.
Now, they'd be measured enough not to do that. So they had a bunch of guys that were close together. We talked about this on Friday, that when they took Booker, they had like five, six guys that were all graded roughly the same that were at the top of their board. And the tiebreaker was it needed to be something that they felt they needed, which they did feel like they needed guard. And it needed to be something where, how are you winning on tiebreakers like intangibles, leadership, and Booker just blew everybody away on that.
Yeah, look, I think Booker's I love the pick. I have no qualms about their first round pick. I think taking a guard is a smart thing to do. They evaluate the position well. It's a position of need. It's a position of value. So I have got
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start. Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects to it.
Strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I had no problem with that. I don't have a problem with the other picks either. But, you know, this is the second year in a row where they went into a draft needing a position and didn't get the position.
Yep.
And they were slaves to their board. And that's fine. That's what you want. That's the route you want to take. You know, you're going to get a good player, right? You're going to get the best player on the board, but I also think that's very arbitrary. And we are as general as people, we are generally bad at talent evaluation. And there's a level of, arrogance isn't the right word, but there's a level of like, where you just feel like, oh, I'm right yeah. here. So I have to be right, well, I've got to take this player because he's number one on my board.
I think they were willing to be more flexible this year because they had, outside of the top like five or six, they had a bunch of guys that were just crushed in this small area together. It was a tight stack for them where you're talking about the guy you pick at 12 might be similar to the guy you pick at 45. And that is a testament to not only... Like, I think a lot of people hear that and they go, oh my gosh, you're telling me I got the player who should have gone in the second round at the top of, you know, a lot of people in the first pick. No, it's a little bit of, maybe a little weak near the top, but also really deep in the back to where guys going in the mid 40s were considered in other drafts would have been considered more like mid to late 20s. So it was a combination of that. So I think they were willing to lean more into their needs where they needed to. It's just by the time their picks would come around, for instance, on the second round, I know that they were prioritizing heading into that day. I know they had at least one first round grade left.
Okay.
And it was a running back. I think they had Quinshon Judkins in the first round from Ohio State. And he got taken with the fourth pick in the second round. I think they would have been interested in if he would have fallen down to him, the South Carolina safety, Nick Emmanuori. He did not make it to them. He got picked with the third pick. I think they would have prioritized taking Luther Burden, the receiver from Missouri, if he would have slid down. He didn't. He was at seven. He was the seventh pick of that round. Couldn't get down to 12. So when it got down to 12, I think they had a collection of guys that were clearly separated from the others. And by the time it got to their pick, I think the only one that was left standing was Ezeraku. So then it's like, all right, well, we don't have anybody graded close enough here to justify jumping for a position. And so then you look into the third round, and I think when it got into round three, there were several receivers that had already come off of the board from the second round and then a little bit into the third. And when you look at some of the ones that were behind it, Jalen Knoll, Iowa State, I love him, and I think they would have had him around the third round. The problem is Revel would have been, if Ezeraku had not been on the board when they picked in the second round, I think Revel would have been a consideration for them at 44.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about when he gets all the way down to where they're picking in the third round, he's way above anybody else they have left.
Way above. And so that's because of the injury.
And the injury, or just in some instances, the position got pushed down the board. The corner position got pushed down the board, where there were just other things that... When everything's bunched together close like this, it really comes down to teams and their flavor or their style and how does that player fit in, and it pushes some guys down the board that you wouldn't have normally thought would have got there.
Was there a moment that you wanted them maybe in that second round to move down?
They entertained trade offers on both. On both
two and
on
three.
On both picks, they took calls. They took calls in the first round, too. But yeah, they wanted to pick up an extra four. They really considered moving off of their second to try and pick up the fourth, and they just couldn't find a deal that worked. But, I mean, they looked for it. It was a buyer's market. So when you're picking up trying to sell, it's really hard to get the value.
See, in that first, like, I don't have a problem, you know, taking less to move down. Not like a ton less, But, you know, I just from the standpoint of, like, they needed bodies. They needed that fourth round pick. You know, they needed more players. That was it.
Some of the thoughts on the Franklin injury attorneys fan text. 615 says they drafted Jonathan Mingo in the fourth round. Just because you got your Christmas gift early doesn't mean you don't get it. 817 Sanders.
Okay, what does that mean? Like, if your Christmas your gift isn't any good.
Right. No, I think that for that, but what they're saying is, like, yeah, you may not like it, but that's how they did get the receiver. That's what they used. They used the fourth rounder on. Just like in the past, it's not the same player, obviously, but they used their first round pick on Amari Cooper. That's how they used it.
Yeah, Amari could play.
I mean, Mingo didn't get a chance to play. I still don't think I would not have traded a fourth round pick for Mingo. I don't think Jonathan Mingo has the capability of even being a number three receiver here. But to be fair to everybody involved, he hasn't gotten a shot to show it yet. He will get a shot because I think Tolbert's time has run out here. In terms of not off the roster, but his time has run out here is like, hey, you're going to get this crack. I think that opportunity is left. It does make me wonder if receiver is what they're, when Jerry talked about at the end of last week, or at the pre-draft press conference when he talked about, hey, we've got two significant trades we're looking at or we're calling around about and we haven't settled on yet. It does make me wonder if receiver was one of the things they were looking at and just if they may still be looking at it and trying to figure out, do we want to go get, I don't think George Pickens is the guy, but somebody like a George Pickens. Are we looking at something like that?
Very nice. Sean and RJ here at 105 through the fan. We were the home of the NFL draft. We were also the home of the Texas Rangers. They had a tough one yesterday. Tough weekend for the Rangers in San Francisco. But I tell you this, I would take a 2-2 series without Miro and Robo. Big one tonight for the Stars. We get you set for it next on the fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.